and it's bass call-ins. And then it takes my voice. So anyone got a song tonight? So I figured out what it was. Eric figured since I threatened to preach long, instead of singing specials tonight, y'all would just sing bass songs and wear my voice out. So I kind of got that figured out. I figured that out. Yeah, I'm slow, but I get there. Oh, I will. Everybody. Yeah. Please keep currency donations above a 10, okay? Open your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 11. I grew up on that kind of singing, and as a matter of fact, the church where I was saved and where we used to sing, and I know some that here remembers as well, we'd sing from that very church hymnal there, in the red one. And of course, our family, we go back there about every year, and we have a decoration. We'll stay at and we'll sing from that song, and then they also have a couple services sometimes, and so those songs bring back great memories, and I love to sing those songs, and I'm glad that, and I know we've sung some of them before, but I love to be able to sing them here. And if somebody was watching, wondering why we're standing around, we're just trying to keep from getting in the choir and getting too tight, too close. Mark chapter 11. Jesus comes through and with his disciples, and he sees a fig tree, and fig tree is all full of leaves, indication that it would have fruit. And he goes up to get fruit. There's no fruit, and he curses his fig tree. Come back later on, and we find in this chapter that the fig tree is withered. It's because of the fig tree made pretense of having something that it didn't have. It had a pretense of bearing fruit, and it was not bearing any fruit. In the midst of this teaching that Jesus did, he goes into the temple. The best I can understand, this would be on a Monday morning when he went into the temple here. And he goes in, and you see a side of Jesus you rarely see. You see Jesus getting angry. You get to see Jesus turning over tables, grab a whip, run out people, run out animals out of the temple. And so tonight I want to bring a thought from that, if you would, but let's begin reading, and then I'll get into a little bit of history, and then I'll get into a message tonight. In Mark chapter 11, verse number 15, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and he began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer or would not allow that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Now, I want you to note that too. Also, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it the den of thieves. Now, he quoted from two places. He quoted from Isaiah 56:7 and Jeremiah 7:11, where he brought these scripture references from. Verse 18, and the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us and through us. And Lord, help us as we stand before these people each and every time. We always feel so inadequate. But Lord, we're glad that we have a living word. And we're glad that the word of God can be able to go out. And Lord, it can speak to every heart with it, and it can fulfill the need that's needed in that life. We do pray if there be one here that's not saved, that maybe something said or done the Holy Spirit would use to draw them to the cross of Calvary, that they may look and see Jesus high and lifted up for their sins and call upon him to save their old wretched souls tonight. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those who may be listening. And we pray that we would see fruit that would bear from thy word. We know it does not return void. And help us, Lord, to be able to stay in the word of God and be able to preach it. Preach it in truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now picture the temple a little bit. And if you go back in history, you remember that God gave Israel the tabernacle in the wilderness. As Moses and them traveled, they would tear it down, they'd build it back up, and they would go. And it was given for the purpose of having a place that they could meet with God, the people of Israel. And they could come and worship and meet God. Then, of course, you know that Solomon was given the responsibility of building a house for God. David wanted to do it, but he was a bloody man, and his hands were bloody, and there were some issues there, and he was not allowed to build it. So he gathered the materials, and Solomon built what we refer to as Solomon's Temple. Now, keep your finger here just a moment. Go back with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We use this verse many times in revival services, but I want you to see the context of the verse. First of all, if you'll notice in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, when Solomon had built a temple, verse 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Look, if you would, in verse number 14. This is one you hear preached many times for revival, and it still stands true today. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Some people says, well, how do we get our America back? How do we get our land healed? By this recipe we just got through reading. It is a conditional prayer. If we meet our end of it, God meets his end of it. Look in verse 15. He says, "Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen, sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." Now you remember how that Solomon's temple was something to behold. But then you remember that when Israel sinned, and God allowed them to go in captivity into Babylon, that he also allowed Nebuchadnezzar to be able to tear down Solomon's temple. And it was tore down. Then after 70 years of captivity, Nehemiah took a group. They began to build another temple. Zerubbabel was the one that oversaw that temple. And they began. Now that temple was nothing in comparison to Solomon's temple. And the older men that had saw Solomon's temple, the Bible said the young people, when they built that temple, rejoiced and shouted, and the old people wept because they had seen the difference between the two houses of worship. But again, Zerubbabel was given the charge to build the temple, and he built it, and that temple stood. And then, of course, by the time Jesus came, a third temple, it was called Herod's temple, and it stood. And, of course, in 70 A.D., Jesus had pronounced before he left this earth, he had pronounced that there would come a time soon that there would not be one stone left upon another of the temple. And sure enough, in 70 A.D., Titus was able to bring an army, a Roman army in there, and he destroyed the temple, Herod's temple, and there was not one stone left upon another when he finished with it. Now, when he did this, then we are looking again, and we won't have to worry about it. But the Jews have been instructed that during the tribulation, they will be in the process of building a temple. They will build the temple during there and have it built. That is going to be as prophetic, because we know that the Antichrist himself, in the middle of the tribulation period, is going to set in that temple and declare himself to be God. Then we find that temple will be used later on in the millennial reign, Christ reigns. But anyway, getting beyond that, when Jesus took the responsibility from Israel and placed it in his church, we now have a church house. As I said, the difference between there, this is not the temple and tabernacle. The temple and tabernacle both had a holy place and the Holy of Holies. This is God's temple now. Each of you are the temple of God. You have a holy place. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 said, there is a seed within you that cannot sin. There is in your spirit where the Holy Spirit resides, and he communicates with your spirit is pure. That spirit that was born again, it is a holy of holies. That is the place that has got to be made alive for you to be able to worship God. You have people tell me all the time, well, preacher, I can pray to God and I can worship God without being saved. No, you can't. You don't have a place to worship from that's alive. It's dead. Until you're born again, your spirit is dead. You have to have a live spirit, and your spirit is what allows you to be able to come into the presence of God, and his spirit witnesses with your spirit. And so therefore, that is the place. But the church is ecclesia. It is a called out assembly of the believers for a general purpose. We have been given a great commission and a purpose to preach the gospel to every creature throughout the land. We are together here together to fellowship, to worship God. So therefore, when we come into this house that has been dedicated to God, this is not come, I've heard some people say, well, just treat the church like it's your house. Well, I say don't. It's not your house. Neither is it my house. It's the Lord's house. The church house is a sanctuary where the church gathers and worships God. Now, saying all that, going back to the temple and getting a mind upon the temple, it's set upon the Mount of Olives. The temple itself and all the different courtyards and everything was covered about 35 acres. It had a wall around it by 1,000 by 1,300. And when you go inside, the first court that you came to was the court of the Gentiles. Anyone, Jew or Gentile, could come and worship God in the court of Gentiles. It was the outer court. And so therefore, everyone had freedom to come into the court of the Gentiles. Now, as a matter of fact, what we're witnessing here with Jesus happened in the court of the Gentiles. But then there was a half wall after the court of Gentiles, and then you go into the court of the women. Now, the women could go on into the temple only when they took sacrifices in the Lord. Otherwise, the women stayed in that courtyard and worshiped God. And only Jews, there was a sign prohibiting any Gentiles from entering in beyond that sign into the courtyard of the women. And so Jewish men could go through there, but the Jewish women could not, Jewish women could, but the Gentiles could not. Then you had, inside of that, was another courtyard. It was a courtyard of Israel, or the Israelites. And there, as I said, the women could go in, and then there was inside the inner part was a courtyard of the priest. That was where the court of the priest did their work, where they ministered unto God, and that was where the holy place was and the Holy of Holies was. And so you could take your sacrifices into there and go there. And again, there was certain prohibits there. Now also you need to understand that there would be, normally in Jerusalem at this time, there was about 80,000 people in population. But during the time of Pentecost, or during the time of Passover, there would be about 2 million people come into to the city. And it would overcrowd the city. And when they would come in, and they would be able to worship. And then the Jewish male, originally they had to bring a half a shekel. Then when Nehemiah built the temple, he reduced it to a third of a shekel. A third of a shekel was about a half ounce of silver, amounted to what would be about $3.50 at our figure right now. But the men would have to give that. But you couldn't give any form of other money other than shekels. And so, therefore, there was money changers that would be there that would change your currency for that. Because you got to remember, people came from all over the world into Jerusalem to worship during this time. And they would have, sometimes they'd have their money and they'd have to change it over to the currency to be able to be used in the temple. The only problem that was going on was they were charging high interest rates and they were charging exorbitant prices to exchange money. Not only that, but also the animals. The animals had to be inspected by the priest to be offered. There were different levels of animals that you could have, from bullocks to goats to sheep and so forth, and all the way down to doves. Now, it mentions doves here, and doves was for poor people that couldn't afford it. And yet what they would do is they would come and they had this worked out with the priest where they would pre-approve the sacrificial animals, and therefore when they would come, and they either brought an animal that was not fit then the priest would not certify to be acceptable to sacrifice, or maybe they came from a long distance, and they would come in and they would just buy the animals rather than bring the animals with them. Now, and so what would happen is there was people there that would be selling animals to the people to sacrifice. Now, basically, they got to the point where nobody really saw anything wrong with that. They were doing it because it was convenient. Convenient. There was a time in this great nation that come Sunday, if you didn't have gas in your car, you got no gas. If you didn't have your groceries bought, you got no groceries. There was a time where you didn't go and eat out at some restaurant on Sunday. You either went to your house or somebody else's house. The reason why is Blue Sunday law was required that everything be closed on Sunday. It was the Lord's Day. Somebody said, I'd like to live back then. A whole lot different than it is right now. I'd love to go back there. Do I wonder if we'll ever go back? I'm not sure. But it'll take God having to cleanse, and he'll have to heal our land. It'll take his people falling on their face before God. But getting back to this. And also, you notice that he prohibits the carrying of a vessel. What was that all about? Well, they would carry vessels, water pots and different vessels. And they'd gotten so used to the temple that instead of walking all the way around the temple, because there's such a distance around it, they just go right through the temple carrying vessels. You know why? It was convenient. And by the way, I started to say this, that's why I went there. You know what did away with the blue law? We came up with this idea in America. Let's just open a little store here or there. We're going to call them convenience stores. That's what they were called. Convenience stores. And it would be convenient that somebody that didn't get gas on Saturday night can get it on Sunday. Somebody who didn't buy the groceries on Saturday night could buy it on Sunday. But listen, we won't have restaurants open on Sunday in America. You don't have to worry about that. We won't have work open on Sunday. We'll always recognize Sunday as being the Lord's Day. We'll take a good look. Now people just plan things on Sunday. Now, getting back. So here, all this was going on for convenience sake. And so Jesus had been in the temple the day before. He knew what was going on. And so he goes back into the temple. And the Bible says he cast out. That means he forced with violence. He cast them out. He overthrew. That means he turned the tables over. And he did not allow anyone to come through there carrying a vessel. Now picture this a minute. Sometimes when we picture this story, and by the way, this was the second time he'd done it. John chapter 2, he'd done it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talks about this one. But there was a previous time that he went in John chapter 2. But evidently, the people didn't learn. They didn't change what they were doing in the temple. And here again, they're making merchandise in the temple. And they're making money. And he's told them that they turned it into a den of thieves. Now, you got to picture this in your mind. Sometimes when we picture this story and we see it in a book, we see Jesus turning over a table and having a whip in his hand. That's not what he did. In the court of Gentiles, there was a lot of tables. There was a lot of animals. There was a lot of people. When he went in there that time, he began to overthrow the tables. He began to take a whip and run all the animals. Now picture this in your mind. Animals running everywhere, people running everywhere, money flying everywhere, and Jesus kicking and knocking things over. The Son of God. You see, that don't sound like the Jesus I know. This world has tried to paint a Jesus that doesn't judge. They tried to paint a Jesus that they want you to believe that anything that you do is okay with him. But that's not this Jesus. The reason why they had turned this thing in to a house of merchandise, and I hate to say that we are living in a time where many people has turned churches into a den of thieves. There's been places right around here where people has left $90,000 from the church they stole. They stole this and stole that. Here I completely trust our two treasures, but we have two treasures. Why? Because they count it together. Not that I distrust either one of them, I trust them both. And if they were by themselves, I'd trust them. If they made a mistake, it'd be a mistake. But it's to take away any question. We print it up here that you can see. I don't touch the money. I do it for a reason. I've known places where pastors have turned into thieves. And where they've taken money. And they've done things. But we see in our church, in some of these churches, they've turned so commercial that it's all about the money. And the Bible warns us about the love of money. And by the way, let me say this. This church is not to be run by going out and trying to figure out ways of making money. Tithes and offerings is what God has commanded that we do. We are commanded to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2 tells us on the first day of the week we are to bring it as God has prospered us. Every man. So every one of us has a responsibility to bring as God has prospered us. You say, well, I don't have the money he or she has. He didn't ask you to bring he or she's money. He said, well, as God's prospered you, that's what you require. Now, let me say this. I'm not going to beat, bang, beg. I never have. And Brother Junior and Brother Greg will tell you, I've never asked them a time how much you put in. I don't even want to know. Who puts in? I don't want to know. I don't preach on money every time we come together, but I preach on this. I've always believed when God gets your heart, he'll get the rest of you. And God will lay upon your heart what to give, and that's between you and God. And you have to deal with God between what you do and what you don't. But whatever we get here, we're able to use it. And I'll say this on behalf of God, a testimony to him. Every time we've needed something, God has always provided. Right now, we're getting ready to put this water line, all this in, and we've had more money than we've ever had in the history of this church. And God just made it work out that way. And we thank him for it. Now, getting back to this, they had made church convenient. Now listen to me a minute. They had gotten way too common. Hear me out. I don't mean to make you mad, but I want you to understand something. This is not a place for lunch and dinner and breakfast. This is not a common place. This is Lord's house. I don't think anybody here is going to starve to death before you get out here. I don't think any of you are going to collapse. And what happens is this. Now listen to me. We have made our church houses too convenient. Whatever convenient is what we've accepted. And you say, I don't see anything wrong with it. You might not, but Jesus does. He doesn't want his house turned into a house of merchandise. And he doesn't want it turned into a house just convenient. He don't want you just walking through carrying a vessel of water. You say, I don't see anything wrong with somebody walking through there carrying a vessel of water. You're treading on holy ground, and that's a common duty that you have, and you are making that house common. And it's not common, it's his house. It's a place special. Amen? How many of us were saved in a house of God? And so what happened is, we have decided that we've got to make our music attract the world. Make it convenient for them to come. I've heard some people say, well, we don't sing them old songs like Amazing Grace. I said, that's your problem. Them songs we just sung, I love it. Amen? I love to sing songs like that. Not only that, but we've made our messages where they no longer convict anybody. We made it like we want to make a message that's acceptable to everybody. And so therefore, what we've done is we've turned our houses of worship into gymnasiums. I know one church built, and they built a place right back there, about the size where Brother Greg is right there, and glassed it in so everybody could sit back there and smoke that smoke, and they could smoke while they watched the church. Other people does other things. Take this and go back to the book of Acts of the Apostles and show me the early church and show me where they did those things. They didn't because the church was a special place. Did they eat at church? They had places at church that they went and ate and they fellowshiped together in houses. Nothing wrong with that. But they didn't do it in the sanctuary. The sanctuary was a special place. It's a place, and so every generation is going to have to decide what you're going to do. So most places says, well, preacher, we want to modernize. I don't see anything wrong with the old. What's wrong with singing Looking for a City? Everybody is going to be happy over there. Jesus loves me. When the roll is called up yonder. What's wrong with singing about the blood of Jesus? The fact that I am nothing but a worm. Such a worm as I. At Calvary. Some people took that song out of their song books. They said, we don't want to be referred to as a worm. Well, sometimes we insult worms. But the point being is, there's nothing wrong, folks. And our young people, listen, young people, if the Lord holds back his coming, you're going to have to decide what kind of church you're going to have. Are you going to make it convenient? Just because it's convenient doesn't mean it's something that the Lord approves of. Let's look at a few things that we ought to be doing. Turn your Bible's book of Psalms. We're going to go there we're going to probably stay there and finish out the message there. Turn in the book of Psalms. First turn to Psalms 35. We're going to go several places. We preached this morning about where Paul said, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with glory that should be revealed in us. And we talked about the things that we go through right now, what a blessing it is to be able to come. And someone said, boy, that sermon day was a sermon of worship, of praise, of one that just lifted our hearts up. I said, amen, you should do that. That's what sometimes sermons should do when we come to the house of God. We ought to be lifted up. But notice if you would in verse 35, in verse number 9. He says, and my soul shall be what? Joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in what? His salvation. Turn, if you would, to Psalms 132. Now, we're going to flip you a little bit. Keep turning. 132. Notice, if you would, in verse number 16. It says, I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for what? Listen to me. This ought to be a house when we come in here. Those of us who come and are members of the church, I hope and pray to God that you're saved. If you're truly saved, when we come here, we need to stop this old world and everything in this world that drags us down, and we need to come into this house and stop for a minute and remember what God has done in saving us. And just be joyful in our salvation. Amen? I don't know about you, but this morning, when I preached that message, I was glad I'm saved. I thank God for my salvation, that I don't have to look to hell. I can look to heaven, and I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which he's committed me against that day. I know where I'm going because of Jesus. But therefore, when we come together, we sing songs. Sometimes we preach messages. Sometimes somebody gives a testimony. But it's we get joyful in our salvation. When we're joyful about it, we worship him and thank him for it. Now, on that, look in your Bibles in Nehemiah chapter 8. We'll get back in Psalms in a second. Nehemiah chapter 8. Right before Esther. Nehemiah chapter 8. I'll probably slaughter one of these names, but you just have to look over me. If you don't like the way I pronounce it, what you do next time I come to it, just raise your hand. I'll let you read it for me, okay? Verse number 9, chapter 8. And Nehemiah, which is Tirshatha and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. In other words, they found the word of God, and they began to read it, and everybody began to cry and weep. Look in verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is what? Is your strength. So the Levites steal all the people, saying, hold your peace, for this day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had what? Understood the words that were what? How many of you ever come into the church and God helps you understand something? And through the word of God, all of a sudden you see something you didn't see. And so not only should we come, and this house is dedicated for the church to gather in, that we can joy and rejoice in our salvation, we can rejoice in understanding the word of God. And by the way, if you never came here, how much of the word of God would you have? How much would you understand on your own? Isn't it nice that God, even when I'm preaching, I have people come and point something out that God showed them that I didn't even see. But yet, God gave them something, and isn't it nice to be able to come and have God meet with us? Because God tells us where two or three together in his name, there he'll be in the midst, and we come in this house Not to eat and drink and be merry. We come in this house to rejoice in our salvation and rejoice in the word of God that we understand the word. Look at Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. Look if you would in verse 43. And that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy, the wives also, and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, for the tithes, to gather them out of the fields of the cities of the portion of the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for a priest and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and Solomon, his son. Notice verse 46. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers in songs of praise and thanksgiving unto who? In other words, we come. This is a house that God tells us to come and bring our tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings, if you study it, is something that was before the law, during the law, and after the law. Tithes and offerings is your recognition that what you have and what you gained this week was given you by God. And it was all his to begin with. But he has blessed you to have that. And what he's done is, he said, I want you to bring a portion of that into my house to show me that you recognize I'm the author of where you got it. And so therefore, when we come together here in this house, we come to worship God for how good he's been to us. Amen? Let me ask you this. Can anybody stand up right now and say, God ain't been good to me? Boy, I don't know about you, but he's been a lot better than me than I deserve. Amen? Now, look on. Stay with me just a few more minutes. You thought my throat was gone, didn't you, Brother Eric? Huh? Everybody's putting the money back in their pocket. Okay. Look, if you would, in Psalms 42. Notice in verse number 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude, I went with them in the house of God, and with a voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept holy days. In other words, it's a place that we all come together on the Lord's day, on the first day of the week. We come together to recognize Jesus' resurrection. We come together to recognize that we are his people, and we come together to fellowship one with another to worship God together. There's no big I's and little U's. There's nothing but a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God that owes it all to the Lamb right here. And so therefore we all have the same reason to worship. Amen? Not only that, but look on. Psalms 95. Psalms 95. In Psalms 95, look if you would in verse number 1. Oh, come. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't sing very well. He didn't say sing well. He said, just make a joyful noise. Be happy. Sing to him. Look if you would in Psalms 98. 98 verse number 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, and make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So those of you who's making fun of me being picked up on the microphone, I just want you to know I was making a loud noise unto the Lord. Now, let me say this. Singing is a wonderful part of us coming together. Don't you love to be able to sing? I mean, I just love to be able to get together and sing like that. Lift up our voices and praise God in song. It doesn't matter. We're all in this together. This house is where we come together to sing the praises unto God. Amen? Now, Not only that, but notice as well in Psalms 27. Brother, when I finish up, you'll be giving money to them. Verse number 6. No, I'm kidding. Verse 6. Now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing what? Folks, this ought to be a place where we come together and just want to praise God. Every now and then, you need to stop the service when God's in it and say, wait a minute, I just got to say something. I just got to praise the Lord. He's worthy. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And so, therefore, this house is not made for our convenience. This house is made that we can come and we can praise God in it. We can sing in it. We can worship in it. We can read God's word and understand God's word. We can rejoice in our salvation. Also look, if you would, in Psalms 30, verse number 5. For his anger endureth but for a moment, but his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We have hope that's given to us. When we're down and out, sometimes coming to church picks us up. That message this morning ought to pick you up. To know whatever you're suffering, it's going to be for a moment, and it's nothing to compare to what was going to be waiting for us in heaven. Amen? Then look two places in New Testament. I'm going to close these two places. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 15, real quickly. Luke 15. Notice if you would in verse number 7, Jesus speaking. And by the way, I only need his authority on this. I don't need anybody else's authority. Verse number 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Look if you would in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of where? The angels of God over one sinner that what? Now, let me say this, and I'm not preaching, that's not my point. But the moment a sinner repents on this earth, there is rejoicing in heaven, because when he repents unto God and puts his faith in Christ Jesus, he is eternally saved. They don't wait until he dies to rejoice in the presence of the angels over him. They rejoice the moment he repents. Now let me say this. Church is a place where we see sinners sometimes come and find the Lord. That's where I found the Lord. That's where many of you found the Lord. It's a special house. If we turn it into the house of convenience, what if the Lord don't come no more? There's not a person that can ever be saved if the Lord's not in here. Last but not least, look if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 8. Peter says, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and what? Now get this. This house is a place where I've seen the Lord many times. I've seen him move. I've heard him speak. I mean, I've seen him. Not with this, but I've seen him. I've had God to speak to me in my house and other places. But nowhere have I been in the presence of God like I have here and other places of churches of worship. That's why, my friend, this is not a house of convenience. It's a holy place. It's the house of God. And Jesus is not pleased when we just start carrying vessels like we do anywhere else. When we just start acting like we do anywhere else. When we just start doing things like we do anywhere else. This is a place you stop and you come in and say, whoa, this is his house. He has provided. And isn't it good that we're not like some countries having to hide in hills and caves to be able to worship God, but we have the freedom of worship? That's why you need to continue voting. Let's stand tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. If you're not saved, then you might come to church, but I'll tell you this. It'd be like a guy told me one time I invited. He said, I come, every time I come, I just feel out of place. I said, you're not saved. You are out of place. I said, but that's the Holy Spirit of God convicting you and trying to draw you to come to be saved. And I said, if you'll come to him, he won't turn you away. But you got to be willing to come. I'm so glad I came. And so therefore, folks, when we come, people said, well, we can do all this virtual. Virtual's nice, but God meant for us to come. And thank God we have a house. Let's just not forget. I mean, imagine Jesus, how angry he got because they made the house of his Father convenient.